This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to the Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm happy to be alive here in New York City.
Me too.
2016.
Jeez Louise. Hey, you said it, pal. You said it, boyo.
Yeah. Nothing like...
brushes with death.
Yeah. Tom, have you ever had a brush with death?
Like a real deal brush with death?
Yeah, like I almost got hit by a bus one time and you saved me.
Yeah.
I've denied it all this whole time. Like, this probably happened in like, what, 2006?
There was I think probably even longer ago.
Yeah, and I stepped out and you were like, whoa, and you tried to make yourself out as such a hero. And I resented you for it.
I didn't try to make myself out of such a hero.
You talked about it a lot. Like, you know, I saved your life. And like, I was like, no, well, you didn't. I wouldn't have gotten hit by that button. I grabbed
you and like flung you into the air.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this guy thinks he's some sort of Batman.
Yeah. Batman.
Yeah. How's it pronounced?
Batman. A Batman.
Batman.
This guy thinks he's some kind of Batman.
Yeah. But I'm willing to admit now, Tom.
Uh-huh.
I might have gotten hit or run over by that bus.
Right.
Had you not intervened. And for that, I am grateful.
Well, thank you. And I accept the key of the city on behalf of citizens.
Well, I am the
citizens.
Mayor. Now, I was waiting until I was elected mayor, Tom.
Well,
so
thank
I could
you.
Give
I appreciate
you the key to the city.
Yeah, so you can thank me properly.
Yes.
Well, Tim, what you're alluding to, though, is why we're saying that we're back safe and sound is that we were both in the wilderness.
Yeah.
For a few days.
The way this episode sounds so far, it sounds like you and I are joined at the hip. Like, we're walking around the city together, saving each other.
Yeah. Then we were stranded in the wilderness together.
We went on a trip to Yosemite National Park.
Yeah. With four other friends. We have lots of other friends.
Yeah. It was a high school bro trip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all used to be in high school together. Wouldn't it be cool if you and I were just like, yeah, we went to the woods with some 16 and 17 year olds.
Yeah, technically we were chaperones, but it was still pretty cool. I'd say we were the coolest chaperones.
We were the like stereotypical like middle-aged men, right? Like going.
We're not middle-aged yet.
Tom, how old are you planning on living to?
Well,
I mean, I guess. I plan on living past my late 60s. So,
yeah, I plan on living forever, Tim.
Yeah, but like
trick
when people
question.
Are like, oh, I'm turning 50, I'm middle aged. It's like,
you're
sorry,
not gonna make
pal.
It to 100, yeah. Idiot.
Yeesh. Maybe the Peter Thiel, right?
Well, they keep saying that millennials might be the first generation that never dies.
That's who wants to never die?
Yeah.
Especially with all this news going on, right?
What does that mean?
I don't know. You open up
no,
a newspaper
I don't
wanna
die.
And you're just like, that's some sad
here's the
stuff,
thing.
Right?
If they solve death, it's not going to be like a permanent cure. It's probably going to be like, well, we've solved death as long as you keep, you know, paying the subscription.
Yeah. Whoever cures death, that guy's going to be pretty rich.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely going to be on a subscription basis.
It's going to be Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
We're going to have to pay him, and he's just going to get more and more powerful. And we're going to have to, like, kiss his feet and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, give him some blood.
Yeah, he loves getting his feet kissed.
And blood.
And blood.
Tim, he's going to sue us out of existence. He's going to send Hulk Hogan after us. Couldn't imagine. But anyway.
I'd like him a lot more if he had Hulk Hogan do his bidding not in the courtroom, but like if you sit
in the squared circle.
Yeah, or if like you're just sitting at home and then suddenly your door breaks down and a man comes in and rips his shirt off.
And, yeah, and he's like, "You're in trouble, brother."
Yeah, and then "I Am a Real American" starts blasting and he just beats the hell out of you.
Yeah, throws you out the window.
Because that would be like, look, nobody wants to get their butts kicked, yeah. their can handed to them,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of an honor if Hulk Hogan does
oh,
it.
Oh, absolutely, it's yeah. an honor. Ask the Iron Sheik.
Look, I'm not asking the Iron Sheik anything. That's a bear that I don't want to poke.
You could, yeah, there had to have been some kind of gentleman's agreement between them of like, look, I'll fund the lawsuit against Gawker, Terry, but... you're going to have to give me something back for it. You're going to have to be my personal muscle.
Yeah, that'd be great.
At the very least, you're going to have to tell me where to get those tearaway shirts for cheap. Do you remember when we were kids? I just remember being like really into Hulk Hogan, even though like I didn't really know what Hulk Hogan was. You know what I mean?
Like I knew he was a wrestler.
Yeah, I knew he was a wrestler. But, like, I didn't understand why people liked him so much. But I was just like, everybody likes Hulk Hogan. I want to like Hulk Hogan, too. And they sold, like...
That's the way I feel about Beyonce. Like, I don't want to miss the train, but,
yeah,
like...
But I don't... Yeah, like... but they...
That's not true. I took a cab here, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Or I took a
limousine.
A limousine.
Uh-huh.
The driver was listening to Pandora... And uh-huh. Beyonce's Love on Top came on, and I was like, awesome, this rules.
Yeah.
And then he turned it off. He skipped to the next song.
What a jerk.
And I was just like, man, I don't know what I can do. Yeah, maybe I'll just rate him one star.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to be real passive-aggressive because, like...
Well, nothing more passive-aggressive than a one-star review. Ruined this man's livelihood yeah. for something he didn't know.
Well, I just got really excited. He didn't skip any other songs, and there were some that Angel of Mine yeah. song came on. He left that on. Mm-hmm. Who is that? Brandy? Monica?
You could have said, driver, go back.
I was going to just put on headphones and listen to it myself.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You don't get to hear those awesome key changes at the end.
It
modulates up like six times before it fades out, Tom. It's insane. That woman's got she's a monster of a
It might
of
modulate even more times and you don't even know about
yeah.
it because it fades out.
Yeah, probably only her and the producer know.
Maybe you think it fades out and it doesn't. It just keeps going, but it's past human hearing.
Yeah. Oh, dogs are loving it. Yeah, she probably goes so high with the ooh. Picture that.
Yeah.
Modulated up like 15 times. Yeah, dogs everywhere going nuts.
So anyway.
Wait, if they have concerts for kids, when are, like, should we start dog concerts what? In Brooklyn?
Dogs can't appreciate music. I've told you this multiple times.
I think they can.
They can.
And I think if you get a bunch of dogs on stage,
like those
Jingle Bell dogs, you get them, and you tell me you wouldn't pay $20 to bring Ginger, your dog,
mm-hmm.
to that concert around Christmas time and just be like, look, Ginger, dogs. I've seen you watch TV when a dog comes on the screen and you're like, look, Ginger, a dog.
Yeah, but I don't think dogs understand like a performer and audience relationship. I think
Tom,
my dog
these
would...
days with social media, those walls are being knocked down anyway.
You're right. I've thought about bringing my dog to like... like when these celebrity dogs do like signings and stuff.
Like Grumpy Cat? Well, that's a cat, I guess.
Yeah. But I've thought about like, yeah, maybe I'll bring my dog. Maybe that'd be a nice thing for us to do together.
Probably just bark at each other.
Yeah, probably.
Your dog would probably try to like pee on something.
Yeah,
that
or
dog
they'd be like,
on.
Don't bring
yeah.
your dog here. This dog's a professional dog. Your dog's an amateur.
Yeah.
And
don't bring
like,
your
you,
amateur.
You say that one more time, you son of a bitch.
This is like the woman at the bookstore.
This is the woman at Barnes & Noble that we're going to get into a fist fight with for insulting my dog.
Harlow and Sage are there.
But anyway, Tim, we went on a wilderness adventure. That,
we sure did.
That you had to see to believe.
Or look at pictures.
Or just
like,
listen to this
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, or be told
keep,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just be told.
We are not experienced in wilderness.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you...
That became abundantly clear.
Yeah. I feel like beforehand, you were talking kind of a big game about like, I'll be fine, and like I do this stuff all the time.
No, it was more that
braggadocio.
I've over the years like kind of assembled a collection of things in anticipation of like the apocalypse.
You've been watching a lot of like Alex Jones stuff.
Like, no.
Are you a prepper? Are you a doomsday prepper?
No, I'm not. But
I remember a time in like 2007 mm-hmm. where you like reached that fork in the road. Like you almost went to Costco and but bought then, one of those big barrels.
But
of
then
like
the iPhone came out. MREs, so I was like, oh, yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? Doomsday prepping is one of those things I find fascinating, though.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Doomsday happens, and you have to live the way that these doomsday preppers are planning on living.
Mm-hmm.
Count me out, buddy.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to be in heaven, floating on a cloud.
Well,
don't talk to me about eating some MREs and like fending off hordes with shotguns and stuff.
It's funny because there are some doomsday preppers that I feel like they're the most serious and the most pragmatic. They're like, oh, here's my doomsday preparation. It's just an armory. I'm just going to go out and take what I need and kill anyone who gets my way.
Yeah, but these are also the same guys that are like, and then when I die, I will ascend into heaven, paradise.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, maybe not kill everybody and take all their things. Just die gracefully and, float around in a cloud playing a harp.
The thing that appeals to me about it, being a doomsday prepper is just the idea of having a hidden entryway into a bunker of some sort.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like
you can't do that in Crown Heights, though, Tom.
No, it's very difficult, Tim. My doomsday bunker is just the closet in my bedroom. No, but like, well, I was here during Sandy and I actually wound up like not having any problems, but like when
Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy.
Superstorm Sandy.
A devastating storm.
Not to be confused with Sandra Bullock, America's Sweetheart.
The Blindsider.
But
she blindsided our hearts.
She sure did, Tim.
Before she floated away with our hearts in gravity.
Right. And then she sped back in speed. But before.
Right. And then she cruised her way into our hearts once again in speed two.
Cruise control. I'd like to see Sandy Bullock reunited with Keanu Reeves in another movie.
Yeah,
how come
why
they haven't
done
put them
that?
Together?
Jeez, I think it's Keanu because she's...
Oh, Tim, you bite your fucking tongue if you say anything bad about Keanu Reeves.
No, but I feel like Sandra Bullock, Sandy B is game for anything, I feel like. Keanu's like...
Well, Keanu didn't want to do Speed 2, but he turned out to be right. That movie stunk.
Yeah, but get them together in another context, everybody.
Get them together in a romantic comedy. That's what everybody wants to see.
Get them together in real life. Mm. I'll get the paps after them, right?
The who?
Paparazzi.
Oh, the papers, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We need to write a very classy...
Fan fiction.
No.
Oh.
A project. A screenplay.
For
we'll
them.
We'll get it to Sandy. We'll get it to
Keanu
Reeves, Christopher Reeves' son, right?
No.
He'll be impressed by your knowledge of Superman. That's how, that's our in.
His last name was Reeve, not Reeves. Anyway. Doomsday prepping.
Right.
Yeah, even though I wasn't affected by Sandy, I was still, like, I did some preparation as far as, like, making sure I had flashlights and, like, filling up the bathtub with water, then not throwing out the baby with the bath water.
That's always my mistake. I've thrown out so many babies, Tom.
You can't get those
every
back
time
either.
I drain my bathtub. I don't drain it. I just throw it out. I throw it in the garbage.
Do you know where that saying comes from?
Like olden times?
Yeah, of course, olden times. That's where all the sayings come
yeah,
from.
Yeah, okay. I was right.
Because when they used to take baths like 200 years ago, they didn't have indoor plumbing. So they'd have like...
Indoor plumbing.
They'd have to boil up the water and everything. Usually the bathtub was like on the, you know...
Yeah, it's like... I understand.
So everyone would take a bath and it would go in order from oldest to youngest. So
I feel like it should go middle out.
Well, then, because
like you
way?
Don't want to, do you want to take a bath out of after like an 85-year-old man? Yeah.
Yeah, half that thing's gonna be piss.
Yeah, piss and like skin.
Oh, nice crust of the bath water. Some lily pads of skin. But so by the time it got to the baby, that water was black. You couldn't see the bottom of it. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because you might forget. I guess they submerge babies all the way.
I feel like they were forgetting babies in a lot of contexts.
You know what? Babies are the last thing you need to wash. They're fine.
I don't know. Their immune systems aren't really that developed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, then you certainly don't want to stick them in a vat of old people water.
I know, yeah. Tom. I feel like the middle-aged people got to get theirs first because they're the ones out like tilling the fields and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Well, they would make kids do work. They wouldn't give
not
a
babies.
Shit. Not yet.
Yeah, and a baby's liable to poop in that water, so you don't want to go after the baby.
Well, so is an old man.
It's true. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Start middle a middle out. Age, middle out.
Well, then you need two bathtubs.
Just get another bathtub, guys. That's what I'm saying. We're a bathtub for everybody.
Or get some indoor plumbing, idiots.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I have it.
Yeah. I put it in myself.
Yeah, I built my bathroom.
So I've had a bunch of like supplies ever since. I've like slowly been building like a bug out bag.
A bug out bag?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
That's when you need to bug out. Bug out of the city.
I just thought it was a go bag.
Or a go bag.
Bug out sounds pretty cool. How about a bug off, buzz off bag?
Well, that'd be a bag you gave somebody else to get rid of them.
Yeah, like if somebody like cat calls a woman on the street, she gives them a
here,
buzz
this,
off bag.
This bag's for you.
And it's just a boxing glove comes out of the bag and punches them right in the nose.
I was going to say it was full of bees.
Ooh, that's another one. Hey, you never know what's going to be in a buzz-off bag.
Bees and a boxing glove.
Yeah, boxing
double
glove.
Double whammy.
That hits you in the face and then explodes, and it turns out it was bees
it was
the
made
whole time.
Of bees. Yeah. So I've had things like a life straw in there.
Now explain what a life
straw
is.
A life
is.
Straw is this big straw, like the biggest straw you could ever imagine. Like the size of a...
No, it's not long.
Well, yeah. It's not a crazy straw, not to be confused with a crazy straw.
I would say it's about 8 inches long.
It looks like a recorder, like an old, the recorders you play in grade school.
Right. I would say about, it's
a little shorter
than
that.
It's a cylinder.
Though. Yeah.
It's about eight.
Yeah, like a straw dummy.
7 inches long, maybe.
Maybe.
And maybe 1 inch diameter.
Probably about that.
Yeah.
So the idea is it's full of membranes and you can basically drink any kind of water through this thing.
Right, and it'll filter
and it'll
it out.
Filter it out. So even if you could drink out of a puddle out of, you know, water, like still water, that they would be like, don't ever drink out of that. It's full of diseases and viruses.
And old man skin.
And microcosms. No, don't drink that. You could drink it with
microcosms.
You could drink it with
I
a life straw. You get drink with a life straw, no problem.
Right.
No questions asked.
Now, I remember you bought this life straw years ago.
Yeah, and I plan on just using it in the bathtub.
Well, you're a man who rarely leaves your apartment.
Right.
Let alone
well,
leaves
that's where
the...
my bug out bag is.
Yeah, like there's like you don't venture out of a place with potable water ever, or the potential to lose potable water, right?
Well, Tim, when you think about it, all water is portable.
Yeah, just not a lot of it.
So I had that. I had like a solar panel that let you plug any USB thing in to charge it.
But we didn't have cell phone service the whole time.
Damn, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about my bug out equipment.
Okay.
I had my predator knife that I forgot to bring.
What's your predator knife?
It's just like a real big knife that's very dangerous to anyone who comes across its owner and its owner.
Yeah. There was some knife shenanigans on our trip that like could have ended in severe blood loss for people.
For everyone involved.
Yeah. I hate joking around with knives. Yeah. Or, you know what? Because it's the...
Oh, Tim, knife humor is some of my favorite kind.
You know what? You say like, oh yeah, like, and the joke is like that never comes up. Uh-huh. But guess what? In our group of friends this past weekend when we were in the woods like miles from civilization... It came up a lot
of knife jokes.
There was so many like knife jokes, knife stunts, knife gags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All variety of knife humor.
Yeah. It's like, it's the real life equivalent, because I hope to God this never happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they have a scene in a movie where people are like messing around with a gun, like joking around with a gun and like
and
it flipping
always goes
it.
Off.
Sometimes it doesn't, uh-huh. but like.
But it's how they raise tension.
Yeah. I just don't do, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a gun in this place,
yeah,
I'm not gonna get a gun in this place.
Yeah.
All right. Just so you know.
Good. I'm not going to get one. All right. I don't like guns.
Okay. Cool.
I'm gonna get a few more knives.
That's
and
fine.
A couple of swords, a couple of just display swords. But you know they gotta still really.
You gotta
work.
Keep them sharp. Everybody will think they're just display swords.
Right.
And then
the last moment.
How often do robbers come in here, Tom?
Every other week or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bad neighborhood.
Yep. Then you got to skewer a few robbers so they know I'm not to be messed with, not to be trifled with. There was a guy who, like, somebody tried to steal his PlayStation or something. He, like, cut him in half with a samurai sword. Yeah. Which, like, I mean, yeah, you know, somebody was trying to steal and you defended your house, but, like, you still got to live with cutting somebody in half with a samurai sword.
I mean, I feel like if he was one of these goofy gamers, Tom,
yeah,
he might have been like, hey, I hadn't saved my progress. Am I right, guys?
So in your mind, the PlayStation was still on?
Yeah, probably.
This man had just gone to the bathroom and a robber was like, now's my chance.
Yeah, he's like, don't unplug it!
Hi-ya!
Yeah, exactly. Lunged for the samurai sword. And it was an accident, I'm sure. He didn't mean to kill the guy.
Yeah, just meant to give him one of those warning shots with the samurai sword.
Well, or just get him to stop unplugging it until he could save his progress.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Tim, we're doing a whole episode about Yosemite, and you're going on and on about samurai swords.
Let's quit mucking about, Tom. Yeah. That's what I say.
So we spent, how many days was it total?
Friday.
Saturday. Sunday. We left Monday.
Running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
and then we
Thursday,
had to leave.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We had to leave New York the day before.
Right. Thursday.
And we got to San Francisco. And then early Friday morning, at crack of dawn, before the crack of dawn, drive out to Yosemite National Park. Now, right. Yosemite is the biggest national park, right?
I'm not prepared to make that statement, Tom.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It seems
it's
pretty
gigantic.
Big.
It's like the size of Connecticut, somebody told me.
That's not true, because I saw every inch of that
You did not see
park.
Every inch of that park, Tim.
I'm pretty sure I did. I covered a lot of ground. While you guys slept, I went out.
Oh, yeah, you went out, hit the town, hit the park. All I know is that it was a four-hour drive from San Francisco, and when we hit Yosemite, it was like, great, we're here. And the GPS still said we were an hour and a half away from where we were camping.
Yeah.
And I remember...
But that's on mountain roads. You have to go like...
Oh, yeah. But I remember even looking at the map thinking like, oh, yeah, where we're going is still like pretty close to like... It's not like it was on the other side of the park. It was still like coming from San Francisco was the closest way to get there.
Now, Tom.
Yeah.
I never got a clear answer.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you did.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you've done research on this. I have not. How many people die every year in Yosemite National Park?
You know what, Tim? I don't have a clear answer because I heard like a bunch of different statistics about specific places. And if I added up all those places, it sounds like hundreds of people die every year.
Exactly. And then we're driving in with the man driving the car, a great friend of ours.
You make it sound like he's a driver.
No, a great friend of ours.
Yeah.
His name's Nick. He's not the best driver in the world.
Oh, he's far from it.
But he's far from the worst driver, too.
Right. He still crashed five times.
No, but you have to often drive on these mountain roads.
Yeah, no guardrail or anything.
No guardrail. Mm. And, like, if you go slightly off, if one tire goes off, you're tumbling down and nobody's surviving, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're falling and, hundreds of feet.
Yeah, Nick wasn't driving great, but, you know, I was nervous enough that I think he was trying to be calm down. I'm doing fine.
I'm on my best behavior.
But you gotta think that at least three or four vehicles a year go off that thing, right? There's no look. I'm not look. I know we don't have to live in a nanny state. Everybody doesn't have to coddle us at all times. But you gotta think if you don't build guardrails. A few cars are going to go over that because, people are bad at driving.
Well, an interesting thing in general about Yosemite National Park is that, it's super famous. It's by far the most famous national park, I would say. And it's super dangerous, but at the same time, it's also kind of like Disney World.
In what way?
In that, everything's just, beautiful and, really well thought out. The stuff that is human made there, roads and everything and trails, it's oh, man, they really thought of everything as far as, where you're going and what you're seeing. But you're still out in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of wilderness.
Right.
And I could totally see a bunch of people being it's a national park. It's basically Disney World.
Exactly.
There's nothing that can hurt you. It's fine.
But there's bears there, Tom.
There's bears. There's coyotes, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah.
And there's more than that. There are just a million places to fall to your death.
Yeah. That's what I had problem with.
Falling to your death?
Trying not to fall to my death.
Yeah.
That was hard. Tom, I'm getting some 12 to 15
a year.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yosemite typically sees 5 or 6 deaths by the end of July and 12 to 15 by the year's end. Yeah.
So
about halfway through the year, they have about half the amount.
Yeah. Good thing that they broke that down.
Thanks. Thanks, Parks Department.
You know what? I mean, that's a lot.
That's Obama's Parks Department for you, Tom.
That's a lot, but at the same time, it's a big area. But I guess not that many people are in there. I want to know per capita, per visitor. That seems like it's
a lot.
I think
most visitors don't die.
Well, prove it to me.
Well,
show
there
me
were
the
six
evidence.
Of us there, Tom,
yeah.
And I believe all six of us made it out alive.
Right. But I didn't see anyone die, so...
That's true. That was, I mean... When you're doing things that are somewhat there was a part of a hike that we did Mm-hmm. That was a little mentally challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
you had to concentrate so you didn't fall off a cliff.
Yeah, if you stepped wrong or did something stupid, there's a chance that you could fall and die.
Well, that's basically the danger of Yosemite Park, and this is why, you know, not to disparage, you know, accidents happen, people die, but like for the most part, it was just like, hey, don't be stupid.
Right.
And that's what I feel like
when people are doing knife humor, man.
Exactly.
Just stop doing that and nobody's going to cut an artery.
Well, I feel like people always like a lot of times when you hear about deaths at amusement parks, people dismiss it because you hear it's like, oh, somebody did something stupid, because amusement parks, for the most part, are designed,
amusing.
Well, but they're designed so that, like, even if you did the stupidest thing imaginable, like the ride will shut down or something will stop you. So I think there are weird people that have that inclination of like, oh, I'm going to push this to the limit, see what really happens. And the answer in Yosemite a lot of times is like, oh, you'll get very hurt or die.
So my thing is like, I'm on one hand, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to fall to my death.
Yeah.
But also I'm very careful. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not messing around here. I'm not like being like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I'm going to fall or whatever.
I'm like, oh, look at me. But I'm hanging off a cliff.
Yeah. But there are a couple idiots in our group of friends, and we're all idiots, but that like do the thing where it's like, they pretend like they're going to push you and then they catch you and stuff.
Don't
and it's
do
like,
that.
You know what? All it takes is you being a buffoon, and guess what? You're kind of a buffoon.
Yeah, so don't do that.
But also, I'm very afraid because like there are some like crackerjack assholes up there, right? And they're like
at the top of every mountain, there's some crackerjack assholes.
Yeah, and they're messing around. It's like, you know what else would ruin my day besides me dying?
Watching somebody else die.
Like, you know what, guys? I don't need to. Like every time I see on the highway some like some motorcycle guy doing some like real dangerous things, it's like, you know what? That'll really suck for everybody if I have to watch you die right now. If we all have to watch
you ruin
dead.
Everyone's
it's
going
to suck the most for you because you'll be dead.
Right.
But also, like,
but I've still got to deal with your head coming flying through my windshield detached.
Yeah. Not that I'm disparaging people who, you know, like that.
They're
accidents.
Showboats, you're talking about.
Crackerjack assholes, man.
Yeah. Somebody did make a joke about, like a stranger made a joke about me falling off the mountain at some point.
I don't think you should talk. Tom?
Yeah.
Well, did you respond in kind? Like, oh, what if you died? And then like shot them a very menacing look.
And then mime pushing them. It was at the very top too. It was at the place where like everyone was afraid of falling off.
Yeah.
The scariest thing to me, it wasn't falling. It was just that like, you're far from everything. There's no easy way to get to you if something bad happens, which again, you're concerned about knife play. Like, if you hit an artery, even if you didn't hit an artery, if you hit anything, I think it would be like, well, you know, it's going to take like an hour or two before somebody can get here.
That's a
there's not roads along the trail that are secret that they can just take a Jeep and get out to you.
Well, that's what agoraphobia is. Everybody thinks it's like, oh no, you're afraid of crowds and you're afraid to go out of your house. No, agoraphobia is fear of being somewhere where help cannot get to you.
Is or that
you cannot,
true?
Yeah. So like fear of flying, like my fear of flying isn't that the plane's going to crash. Like, I know that, like, it's probably not going to crash.
It's that
but,
you might
if
have
something happens to me
if
up there.
If you have diarrhea and there's a long line.
Diarrhea, I'm going to poop my pants and what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, like what happened to Gerard Depardieu.
That's like a lot of fear of elevator and stuff. And lot of things that are like attributed to claustrophobia or something. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's really like, no, if this gets caught between, like, or on the subway, if this gets caught between and shit goes down, like, I can't get help here.
Yeah,
and that's my problem with Yosemite, or like, you know, we did a hike that was 7 miles in and 7 miles out, and it's like you get 7 miles in somewhere, like something bad happens to you, like, and there's people on the trails. I know we saw a ranger, we saw one of the nerdiest rangers of all time,
one of the nerdiest rangers you could ever imagine.
Yeah, and what's that guy gonna do?
Yeah,
he'd probably poop his pants. He's probably got diarrhea on a plane.
Well, no, it's just that I wouldn't be worried about somebody getting to me. I'd be worried about them getting me out.
Right. Or, and, like, just having access to help.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what... So, yeah. All right. So, we did... Let's talk about the hikes we did, Tim.
All right.
Let's talk hikes. Hike talk.
Hike talk. Tom?
Yeah.
You and I?
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us in particularly good shape. Would you agree?
I would say I'm potentially in the worst shape of my life.
Right. And I think a week ago, you might have disputed that if I had told you that.
Because
I know I was like, I'm fine. I'm great.
You know what?
You know, I make a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
For the purposes of entertainment, but that's all it is. We all have some laughs.
I wouldn't dispute that I was in the worst shape of my life, but I would probably still be like, yeah, but that's still pretty good. That's still top 10 percentile of all athletes.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, mm-hmm. the sample that we're drawing from in Yosemite.
Yeah.
We're pretty in shape, especially like if you go to the suburbs right now,
right.
and you walk around, you're like, yeah, I can walk 100 miles more than the next person I see.
Well, yeah, for no other reason than like the two of us, you just got a car, Mr.
Yeah.
Fancy Pants.
Hell
but,
yeah.
But like we don't have cars, we walk to a lot of places. So you at least get like the
yeah, I walk several miles a day. I'm sure you do
yeah,
too, right?
So it's like you at least get that kind of yeah. exercise. Like, oh, I'm going up flights of stairs. I'm doing things. But like it's still, no, it's not.
And like compared to everybody else out there on the trail,
yeah.
like you are the weakest
oh,
on there.
Yeah.
There Tom, do you remember... We hiked in, and I'm sorry, we'll get to the specific hikes.
Okay.
Hiking out, both of us dying, one of us more than the other, I'd say. Very last couple miles hiking out. And we came across a man and his two daughters hiking in.
Yeah.
And doing the hardest part, like switchbacks, very steep,
yeah.
like the part that like almost killed us first
yeah,
thing in
yeah,
the morning
yeah.
that day. There's these two little girls in sundresses
yeah.
that are just like
bored,
skipping along and bored and just
yeah.
kind of like, bleh. And we have like all this outdoors gear and we're sucking wind
yeah.
and almost
like,
dying.
Hey, little girl, you got any water?
And the little girl's like, nah, I don't need it.
Nah,
I'm
I
just,
need water.
Yeah, I'm just going to do what you did like yeah. very easily. And like I got started. Like we had to get started early in the morning because we didn't mm-hmm. want to get stranded in the woods.
Yeah.
When we're leaving, they're just starting, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll get out in time."
Yeah, hour in, hour back, we'll be fine.
Yeah, little girls, we're wearing like sandals.
Yeah, ballet
flip-flops.
Shoes.
Yeah.
So
those were some inspiring little girls, Tom.
I was very inspired. I
didn't like when you said in 10 years I'll be dating one of them. Though.
Tim, I didn't
I can't
say
believe you
that.
Said that.
You're thinking of Donald Trump. I never said anything like that. Certainly not to the little girl's father, who looked like he was in good enough shape that he could have carried all of us all the way to
yeah.
the summit.
I mean,
back.
He certainly could have just like tapped us and murdered
oh,
us.
Oh, he could have just yeah. blown on me yeah. very strong and I yeah. would have fallen off a mountain. So we went on two trips. There are two big hikes. But the first hike... And I was not paying attention to all the hike or all the trail discussion.
Tom, a lot of stuff was discussed in those emails that you very proudly did not read before.
I didn't proudly not read. They were just so long. And they were, you know what? I should have read them. I should have read them so that I was at least aware of all the options.
Right.
But the first hike we went on, we wound up starting later than we anticipated. And we didn't have the permit that we anticipated.
Well, we wanted to go backpacking. We wanted to hike a few miles in.
Yes.
Set up camp in bear country, essentially.
Right. So where we did set up camp was...
Car camping.
It was yeah, it
car.
Was a campground.
Right.
So there were, what, like 40-something spots throughout, I don't know, maybe like a square mile or something.
Sure. I have no idea. Like, once you start getting into square things, how many square feet is your apartment 10,000 or like 60? Either one sounds plausible to me.
We were camping in a place where I could we could see our next door neighbors, and then
our next door neighbors would not stop listening to Red Sox games. Yeah. It really took me out of the whole wilderness experience.
And then I could see like fires from the two nearest right. camps. So we weren't on top of each other, but you know, we certainly weren't out in the wilderness.
Right.
But we were out in the wilderness still, because we're miles and miles into Yosemite. So there's still bears and everything. And then one morning, I'll talk about briefly, at 5 a.m., we were all awoken to a coyote fight happening maybe 100 yards away from us.
Yeah, we woke up to all these coyotes howling at the moon, and we were like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A little scary, but cool.
But then you hear...
and then yelping for like a full 10 minutes, just like...
And I still have no idea how many coyotes there were. It sounded like a million.
I feel like if it started out with a million, there's like 900,000 dead coyotes there.
Yeah.
Because it sounded...
It was violent. Whatever was happening, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And we were all just frozen in fear. Because, again, it sounded like it was about 100 yards away, but it could have been like 5 yards away.
Yeah. Or it could have been a mile away. We have no... I have no idea how to judge things by sound.
No. No. Who does?
No. Mountain men, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of mountain men?
More than anything.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, maybe a bear will come here, but maybe some sicko will just come and slit my throat. And I'll just be like, right. And it'll just be like a thing in the police
and
blotter.
Like a bear or a coyote, I can like bang some pots together and maybe they'll go away.
Yeah.
My mountain man, that's just going to attract him even more.
Exactly. I'd be like, oh, pots and pans. There's probably some beans in those pans. They're always on the prowl for beans, these mountains.
Oh, it's been years since I've had a nice can of beans.
Yeah, he's sharpening his knife as he's saying that.
So the first hike...
We were gonna backpack.
We were gonna backpack.
Men, like real mountain.
Like real men that you couldn't even believe. And we were gonna camp out who knows where.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the wilderness. We didn't have a destination. It was just like... as far as we can make it on the first day, when night falls, we'll gather wood.
Choked up, Tom?
Getting a little choked up. No, it's basically like, all right, we'll get an idea of when the sun's gonna fall. We paid attention the night before to see when
it gets dark, not when
the sun goes away.
When the sun falls,
we paid attention the day before to see when the sun goes away, and we were like, okay, it's about this time. So, like a half hour before the sun. Maybe an hour. We'll need to like keep an eye out for like a source of water,
a sorcerer,
some wood, because we'll need to build a fire and we'll need to gather water and we'll need to set up our tents,
right,
and eat and all that. But somebody
was very late.
Somebody was very late. So
complicating matters.
Yeah.
Also, was that people like you and I, maybe one other person, but mostly you and I. We're not thinking that we'd have like 40 to 50 pound packs on our back.
No.
With like all the stuff that we need for the day and night and the next day.
And also like stuff I didn't need, but I thought like, well, it'd be nice to have.
Your Game Boy and your Game Gear and your Lynx.
Well, they don't play the same games.
That's true. But then you had to pack all those games too, Tom.
Well, you never know which game I'm
gonna
want.
And then the Game Boy needs an external light.
Well, it's dark at night.
Yeah, it's true. I'm saying it's a flaw in the design.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had to pack up a bunch. But for example, I was like, well, I'll probably want to sit in a chair. So, like, I've had my chair in my bag. A bunch of dumb stuff.
I'd say within the first 15 feet of that hike, I accepted death or defeat. I was like, at some point, I'm going to tap out and just walk back.
Yeah.
Or,
and just leave all this stuff in the woods.
Yeah. Or I'm just going to die out there. And that's going to have to be okay.
Yeah. I definitely had a similar feeling multiple times, but luckily we had left so late that I think even if we were able to be, you know, like
we were supposed to hike 11 miles in like 6 hours, I think.
Yeah.
No, not even 5 hours
with packs on our back,
a lot of it uphill.
Yeah.
Which, listen, I know that doesn't sound like a lot,
but you do it.
Cause like it. Sound. I was like, yeah, no, I walk a mile in the city in like 10 minutes. It's fine.
I take the subway that far all the time. It's no big deal.
Yeah. I've driven in a car hundreds of miles in one shot.
Yeah.
Guess what? you're not allowed to have a car on the trail.
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
You call this America.
Yeah, it's Barack Obama's Yosemite National Park, if you ask me.
So we had the packs and everything, and we realized, like, oh, there's no way we're going to make it before nightfall. So we did a different hike, which was still, what was it, like 7 miles there and back? 8 miles?
No, it's like, yeah, it was 4.5 and then an extra. We did 10 miles that day.
Okay. With the packs on our backs.
For no reason.
For no
reason.
A bunch
of stuff that we didn't wind up
that
using.
We had to bring back and
we
set up again.
We brought a bottle of water and a sandwich and we, like, carried it in our hands. Instead, we, like, brought an RV.
A quarter of our body weight in addition.
Only a third for me.
Well, it would be not only a third. It would be
a third.
As much as a third for me.
As much of a third, yeah.
You're very proud of that.
I'm very spilt.
So that hike was bad. But the next day was worse. Even though the next day we knew not to bring our stuff.
The next day was so much fun, though, Tom.
It was so
much. It was very bad for you.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was very bad for me.
A thing that you did not disclose to anybody in the group before embarking on these thousands of feet of altitude where the air got pretty thin. Beginning the first hike, I was like, Tom, do you have your inhaler?
Yeah.
And then everybody else turned around and was like, what the hell? You have asthma?
Yeah.
And, you know, to which we all said, sucks to your asthmar.
Yeah, from Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And then he put my head on a pike.
Yeah, so we murdered you. We dropped did one of them drop a boulder on somebody?
Yeah, I think that happened to Piggy, and then they took his head off.
Those boys were
bad news.
Bad news.
The original name of Lord of the Flies was Bad News Boys.
Bad News Boys. They should restore that.
Yeah, well, so I have asthma, but it only affects me like once or twice a year. It's
when you're climbing mountains.
Well, but I never been up that high. And let me tell you, they're real stingy with the oxygen at that altitude.
Yeah, they don't like to give that out at all.
No, we were like 8,000 feet up, and then we wound up like, and then the hike was another 2,000 feet up. So it was like 10,000 feet if you do the math. I trust that you're doing it at home. Yeah, there was not a lot of air. And that was the thing. I was actually like, because it was a weird thing. It was weird for me to get used to because, like, I would stop sometimes and somebody would be like, and then I'd be like, all right, I'm ready to go. And somebody would be like, no, like, take more time so you don't have to stop again. And it took me a while to realize that that wasn't it. It wasn't like that I needed to take big rest. It was just that, like, I needed to stop for like 20 seconds every 60 seconds. And
the 20-60 rule.
And stopping longer it helped like a little bit more, but not that much more. It was just like, nope. It was just, you know, I took 10 breaths and there wasn't any oxygen in any of those breaths. So now I need to wait a minute. Which was a weird thing because it made me feel, at least until the very end,
like less of a man.
No, it made me feel
than the rest of us, like me.
It made me feel like I was in better shape than I thought, just because my breathing gave out so much quicker than anything else.
Right, your body gave out at the end, though.
Oh, yeah, but at the end, yeah, and that's what I was gonna say. Like
if I saw
my breathing gave out three steps before my legs would have turned to jelly.
Yeah, like if I saw somebody walking down the street the way that you were walking down that mountain, I'd be like, I'm going to call a funeral home and like make a reservation to get like the best room like for the like.
Yeah, well, they'll give you a discount.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was okay.
Tom, I just want you to have the best room at the funeral home for you.
So breathing was trouble the whole time. But then on the way down, all of a sudden my knees were just like, well, I'll tell you, it wasn't all of a sudden. It was while a member of the group who's not, either of us had to go poop,
in the woods, like a bear, like those Charmin bears,
like the Charmin bears,
but he didn't come out dancing like those Charmin bears. Oh boy. He came out with a shameful look on his face.
He came out with it, like, mostly terrified because he was basically doing it off the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden he was just like, I can't go any further. Mm. I'm not going to make it. I need to do something about this. Which at the time I thought was great because it gave me like a cool, now I can sit for 10 minutes. And hey, it's not on me. Yeah. I'm waiting on somebody else. But in those 10 minutes, my knees were like, great, we're done. Go into repair mode. Don't worry about how much it's going to hurt and how stiff we're going to make everything.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, what an incredible coward Tom is. What an out of shape idiot. But like, I just kept going along at a moderate pace because I was in a group ahead of you. And then when I came out of the woods, I didn't have to stop and wait for somebody to poop for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, when I came out of the woods, then I sat down for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when I got up, I started walking like old man Reynolds over here. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, that's what happened to Tom.
Yeah.
Except when he still had 2 miles to go.
2 miles down, like,
very steep.
Very steep, all rock. So, like, very hard.
It didn't help that like, this was the portion where we passed those little girls in the sundresses, like, just like, hey, guys, just doing some normal everyday bullshit.
At the very end, like, the last 2 miles, which were, like, pretty flat, like, I was still going, I was broken. I was a broken man.
Mm-hmm. If I imagine the Six Flags man.
Yeah.
Except that he wasn't at Six Flags, and so he wasn't very happy.
Yeah.
And the Venga bus did not bring him there. It's just him at, like, the home, just, like, struggling.
I was just shuffling.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
You were shuffling like a zombie.
Like a zombie that already had a big head wound.
You were staring off into, like, the middle distance. It was.
Yeah. And, like, that's why I was going super slow, but those last 2 miles, I don't think I really stopped because I was like, if I stop, I might as well start digging a grave because that's where it's all going to end. That sucked. That was,
did you feel a sense of accomplishment when it was over?
Kind of. I definitely felt a sense of accomplishment when I got to the very top, which was why
Clouds Rest is what they call it, right?
Which is why, like, part of the reason why I wasn't afraid to be so high up, just because I was so, like, happy to have made it and be alive. Because there were definitely, like, hundreds of times throughout that hike that if somebody was like, hey, there's a helicopter right over here. We can get. I'd be like, oh, yep, all right.
$10,000, sure. Yeah, I'll go into debt for this.
Whatever.
I turned into an incredible coward.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter mile from the peak.
Right.
Because you have to scramble over these rocks.
Yeah.
And if you step wrong,
you
got to
scramble like some eggs.
Yeah, scramble like all the eggs.
You got to scramble like eggs, but then it's also it's a very weird, like, perspective looking up at where you're going because it feels strange. You're like, what do you mean I'm going up there? There's not a way up there.
And there's a steep drop off. Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's where
there's a steep drop off and there's a steep climb up where it even feels like, while I'm climbing up, if I fall backwards, I'm going to fall a long ways.
Just bounce anyway. Yeah. Any way that you bounce is going to be bad.
Like a pinball machine.
But I'm not often in a situation
mm-hmm.
where I could, like, there's nothing I can do right now in this room.
Yeah.
Right? Where, like, I will
a
do
something. A mistake will kill you.
Not even a mistake. Like, if I wanted to, I can't do one thing that will kill me. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've baby-proofed this room since you're in here
that,
a lot.
Yeah.
I covered up all the outlets and everything.
You know those outlet things that uh-huh. they put? My parents put that in to baby-proof it when my brother was a toddler.
Yeah.
And he would just take a fork and pry them out of the outlets, which is like, he wouldn't have probably gone for the outlets at all until he saw, like, oh, there's a thing in there. I'll get that out for them.
Charles Manson?
So anyway.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that was the thing messing me up. Not that, like, I'm probably gonna fall. It's just that, like, I could do one thing. Like, even if you go to the top of a high building.
You're used to the nanny state.
Yeah, I love the nanny state, man. Coddle me, Barack Obama. I want to drink from your teat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, even if you go to the top of the Empire State Building, it's like, well, even if you can't, even if you do climb over that razor wire fence,
yeah,
there's another net to catch you.
There's just no, and like, this was just like any, the fact that like, I could just be like, hey, guess what I'm going to do? Lean and roll this way, and then that's the end of my life.
So long, Tim.
Yeah, and how often are you in the situation where all you have to do is lean?
Yeah.
And then, like, that'll be the end of you.
And if you're in a situation where you have to lean, all you have to do is misstep.
Yeah.
That was actually the only thing that scared me on the way up, and, like, I went very, very slow on the way up, was because I was so oxygen-deprived that I kept getting dizzy and, like, starting to black out a little bit. And that's when I was like, no.
Gotta get to the peak so I can hug a rock up there.
Well, no, not even that. It was just like you're going to have to go even slower than you think. Because like a half second of your vision blacking out could be it.
Exactly.
So you've got to be very, very careful that you don't black out. And there are few situations in day-to-day life where I'm worried about blacking out and dying.
Sometimes I do that when I'm driving a car. I'm like, if I black out right now, I'm going 70 miles an hour, and I think this might be.
Of course, but you're not going to black out in a car for the most part because
sometimes
you haven't...
I'm worried if I sneeze a few times in a row and I'm driving a car. It's like, well,
where this, it was like, well, you're 10,000 feet up, there's no oxygen, you have asthma, and you've exerted yourself harder than you've ever done in your life. So be careful.
Yeah. God forbid you have 5 sneezes in a row.
Oh, man.
Might put you over the top.
The only time I was scared
up... Go down like a rag doll.
The only time I was scared up there was because I went up by myself because some people had gone up ahead.
Me.
Yeah, but from what I heard, you had a very specific arrangement.
I had somebody I was following our good friend Jeff. Mm-hmm. I was following whatever foot he put down. Like, the concept needed to be proven every step of the way. Like, okay, that's a stable rock.
Well, that's
kind
of what I have to say about this.
And behind me was a friend of ours, Sean, going like, you got this, buddy. You got it.
And by far the person having the easiest time with all this.
Yeah. He was doing a jig behind me.
So I was coming up with somebody who couldn't make it to the very top. They suddenly got like vertigo and just a horrible fear of heights. So I had to go up alone. And there was nobody else going, not even like outside of our group of friends, whatever. So I didn't have that Jeff proving which rocks.
Oh, yeah.
And
I would not have known which way to go.
No, and especially up towards the top. There was very little indication of, like, where's the path here?
Right.
What's the right way to go?
Where's the beef, right?
It wasn't very obvious. And that was the only time I was scared because there was a part where from one rock to another, what you had to do was, like, go down, slide down kind of. And it was, like, pretty far, you know, maybe, like, 3 or 4 feet and then, like, go along another thing and then pull yourself back up. But what I saw was, well, I guess you have to jump from this rock to this rock. And it was not
like Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. And it was not a far jump whatsoever. But it was.
But if you jump wrong, you die.
Yeah. And it was far enough that you couldn't step.
Right.
So you had to jump. And the second my other foot left the ground, I had the most regret I've ever had in my life.
Do you feel like that's going to be the feeling that you have before you die? Like, why did I?
Why'd I do that? Probably. Yeah. I hope not, but...
I always said my last words are going to be like, no, wait, I was kidding.
Yeah. hey, watch this.
Yeah.
But that turned out to be okay. And like, in midair, instead of having like... like my life flashing before my eyes, I saw myself like shopping for my hiking shoes on Amazon being like, well, these shoes are $5 cheaper. And then like comparing my insoles at Walmart the day before and being like, these ones are good enough. Tying my shoes earlier, like, that's fine. Like all these things adding up to me falling off a cliff. But they didn't. I made it.
We both made it.
We
are alive.
Yeah. But it was great getting to the top of that. It would have been great getting to the bottom, except I was just utterly broken.
Yeah.
To the point where...
A broken man.
Like, we
but
bought...
But guess what? We built you back up that night with some hot dogs and some beer.
Oh, those hot... Well, that's what I was going to say.
I was so tired, I wasn't hungry.
Same for me. I had half a sandwich this whole day because I was just sick about everything. But then when I got back, I started eating. And everything was the most, you know, Oscar Mayer hot dog was the best meal I've ever had in my life. But the thing that I thought would be satisfying that wasn't was beer. We bought so much beer, all of us. I think collectively 6 beers were drank.
Yeah, I didn't drink any beer that weekend.
We were all dramatically dehydrated all week. I didn't bring enough water that second day.
I was pissed at you for not bringing enough water.
I was pissed at me for not bringing enough water.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Towards the end, remember when I gave you my water bottle?
Yeah, yeah.
That was after I did some pretty high-level calculus where I was just like, all right, I'm going to hoard this for as long as I can till I make sure that
Tom,
I don't need it.
Pretty sure Tom's close to death.
Exactly, and that I'll survive. And then, like, I think I, like, poured, like, enough out
poured some of it
another...
in the ground?
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to I was planting some plants. I'm going to go back next year and see what grew. Tom, tips? Any Yosemite tips?
You never have enough water. Well, the first day, I didn't run out of water. I brought so much water, but I brought so much of everything. So then the second day, I was like, I don't need them. So, I need
sleek, streamlined Tom.
Yeah, but that was not the case. I would say next time, so I had a life straw, but then our friend Jeff had this other contraption where you could like fill a thing with water and then filter it through. That was great. But then on Amazon, I saw they have a $75 thing that's like you press a button, it just goes like and sucks the water up and filters, which seems
Here's
like it'd be great.
Here's the thing about hiking and backpacking and camping. Like all these hardcore like backpackers that are like, I'm going out into the wilderness like hundreds of miles from anywhere and I'm going to be, that's cool and everything. But all they really did was spend a lot of money. Because, like, you can buy anything that will make it, like, you can buy a sleeping bag that will keep you warm and also, like, fold up to, like, be the size of a sugar cube.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, that'll cost you $1,200 or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, you can buy all that stuff. And so when it's like these hardcore outdoors guys, it's like, yeah, you just went to REI and spent, like, $25,000. I could do that. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Take out a second mortgage on my house.
You don't even have a house or a first mortgage.
I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tom,
the secret family.
The secret family.
Tom,
I'll tell you this. I have a secret family. So a secret wife, secret children. I have a secret podcast with a different other guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's just
I have a
too
second
much.
Secret,
that's a step too far.
I have a second secret Toyota Corolla. Tom, I got it all. I got the works.
Wow. You're double dipping in every way possible.
It's exciting. I'm, I mean, just waiting for it all to come crashing down on me, but I can't imagine a way that it would.
But I'll tell you this much. The filtered stream water was the best water I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's because
so
you were hallucinating by the time you needed it.
Tim,
yeah.
I hadn't pooped in 5 days because I was
know,
so dehydrated.
Which is like, for you, Tom, I've been here for an hour and a half. You've pooped 6 times.
Yeah. That's
it's not right.
I'm drinking a lot of water.
Yeah.
So beer was no good. Maybe like the first sip of beer was great. But then after that, it was just like, I don't want this anymore. I just want more water, please. coffee was still great, though.
Coffee was great.
And then coming back and having like real coffee, fantastic. So those were great. What else did I appreciate?
You didn't even drink much. You know what I think it was?
What?
Most of your problems? I didn't see you drink any soda.
Yeah, no, that was a big problem. Next time I would bring a lot more soda.
Hardcore soda withdrawal.
Yeah, no, I got like a soda on the way back, and holy moly.
Yeah, I heard you. It was like it got pretty, I was driving.
Yeah,
it
got pretty erotic.
Yeah, in the back seat, I was just like, I turned the rear view mirror up to the ceiling so I didn't have to
Oh, God.
I didn't accidentally catch a glimpse of what was going on in the back seat.
Yeah, so that was all great. Also, coming back and just feeling like a real man felt great. Did you feel like a real man when you came back?
I did. I mean, both of us went to a spa the next day.
We went to a bathhouse.
Yeah, Russian bathhouse.
We got some baths. Oh, that was great. Saunas, jacuzzis, hot tubs, cold tubs, cool tubs, you name it, tubs.
Yeah, stop calling me tubs, Tom.
That was great. That was so great. I'd just like to sit here and think about it for a minute. That was the best idea anyone's ever had. Our friend Nick was like, you know, when we go back to San Francisco, I know this Russian bathhouse with all these...
we'll go to the San Francisco bathhouse.
And we're like, can we just go there without showering stuff? They're like, yeah, it's no problem. I was disgusting.
Tom, I'll let you in on a secret.
What?
I told people I changed my shirt.
Who asked?
I flew in this shirt. I went to... JFK Airport on Thursday afternoon in one shirt. I arrived on Monday afternoon in San Francisco wearing that same t-shirt.
Wow.
Like, I changed zero of my clothes the entire time I was there.
Why'd you bring so many then?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, it was
so
cold. Did
you not change because it was so cold?
It was so cold at the campsite.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, we woke up and there was ice on our tent.
Yeah, and our water would freeze. My phone wouldn't turn on after the first day.
Yeah, you couldn't call your 1-900 sex
numbers. I couldn't call my 1-900 sex numbers. I was unaware that it would drop below freezing every night.
Yeah.
That was
a fun surprise, wasn't it?
That was horrible. I hate the cold, and I love sleeping. So to have cold ruined sleeping is the worst nightmare imaginable.
Yeah, it's your two greatest enemies teaming up against you.
Yeah. So that was horrible. No, I changed a fair amount. And then, like, the last night, I boiled water so I could wash my hair and face because I just felt so disgusting.
I thought that was a little prima donna-ish.
I'll tell you what, though.
She made us all, like, watch.
Well, it was like flash dance. It was very erotic.
It was erotic.
I'll tell you this much. It felt great. It really felt great. But that shower the next day at the bathhouse.
That was the best bathhouse shower I've had in my life, Tom.
Well, and it was like a detachable nozzle. So it was just like, yep, that because that's what I need. Because, like, look, there's
angles that
normally wouldn't matter. But right now matter more than you could ever imagine.
Maybe we should leave it on that note, Tom.
Oh, but I was going to say I felt like a real man when I came back. I almost started a street fight.
Wait, what?
Tim, I just felt so happy to be alive and so burly.
But you almost died.
But I didn't.
And these little girls were doing the same thing in sundresses.
Yeah, but this guy doesn't know that. I've had this whole thing.
I didn't know that you went there either.
Well, it didn't matter, Tim. I just had the swagger, the confidence of a mountain man. There have been all these, like, bros moving into my neighborhood lately.
Yeah, guess what? You know why I moved out of Brooklyn, Tom? Because my neighborhood, that happened to it.
This guy.
Come to Queens. It's weird there.
This guy was, like, yelling at a guy who was parallel parking. And he's like, use your mirrors, bro. Use your mirrors. Because the guy wasn't using his mirrors to parallel park.
Yeah.
But he just, like, kept yelling at it as he's walking.
So, like, don't... Look, you ever parallel park? I'm sure this bro has. You want somebody yelling at you?
Exactly.
Another thing? I
got to
turn
anything.
Off the radio. I got to tell everybody to shut up.
So this guy's, like, as he's walking, and he just, like, keeps saying it to this guy. And I came up to him. I said, mind your own business.
Oh.
Yeah.
Show him a buzz off? You give him a buzz off?
Yeah, I gave him a real buzz off. And boy, it shut this bro up like nothing else. Because he was like, wow, that's a mountain man telling me.
Yeah, a bro back. He didn't know you were a mountain man. He just knew you had the confidence of a mountain man.
You can't call me a broke back man? Broke back mountain man?
Probably.
I was ready to I want an excuse to tear this guy apart.
Yeah, your knees probably would have given out.
No, but I was already home, so I had my my Predator knife again.
Oh, yeah, you just carry that.
Yeah, no, it's on my belt.
One time I was walking down the street, and you know these men that walk with the like a shopping cart and like scavenge for cans?
Yeah, 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 recycling.
Yeah. So, you know, this guy I've seen around a bunch of times, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then, like, somebody was walking their dog, and the dog started barking at the guy, and the guy's like, ah, no, it's okay, just keep the dog away. And then I see this man pushing the shopping cart, pulls out this huge Rambo hunting knife, and just, like, has it, like, hidden on his side, so, like, the person walking the dog can't see.
Yeah.
But, like, if that dog came an inch closer, this guy would have sprung into action, just decapitated that dog. And I was like, this is not the friendly neighborhood, like, you know, junk man.
This
I thought
is not
it was,
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yeah. So I had to move, Tom.
Well, you had to stop hanging out with the junk man, at least.
I framed him for a murder, too.
Oh, good.
So I knew I wouldn't encounter him anymore.
Yeah.
I framed a lot of people for murders, but that's a tale for a different day.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can support the show by supporting our sponsors, but also by going to tcgte.com/Amazon for the easy way. Do your Amazon shopping. Doesn't cost you an extra cent. We get a little bit in our purse. And or the fun way, tcgte.com/pledge, where you can pledge to our Patreon, where you can get all kinds of fun bonuses, like mini episodes called Amazing Facts.
Yeah, the thrilling conclusion coming up.
It's coming up. The penultimate episodes this week.
And also, we're gonna do something else. I think we might do a Patreon pilot season. I think we're gonna try out a few new mini episodes. And
yeah, because we're gonna replace Amazing Facts with a different type of thing.
Did you see me wince just now?
Yes,
Tom?
I did.
It's because like
I'm a radio professional, so I wasn't gonna.
Yeah, I just realized this. We had discussed this was gonna be a live streamed episode.
Yes, that
which
didn't
we didn't
happen.
Do. Yeah, so we'll do it later on this
yes.
month. You get live streams. You get things. It's
you
fine.
Get all kinds.
Yeah,
of
it's
things.
Great.
You can follow.
You'll love it.
You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
You can follow me on those things @yourpaltim.
And if you want to email us, thecompleteguideeverything@gmail.com.
Yeah. We'll answer it. Well, no. If you send us a problem, we might do it on the air.
Yeah.
I've tried to get better at answering emails. It's nice. It's great. It's a great thing. Tom, we're a HeadGum podcast now.
Yeah.
You can tell by the this is a HeadGum podcast, right? That's what that lady sounds like. Do you think they knew when they're like, hey, come be on HeadGum, that like the Yosemite National Park episode would just be us talking about like walking around, like our misadventures in the park? Like, do you think, like, I think this more than anything, like, might be like, before we were going to Yosemite, I was like, oh, you know what? I bet there's an informative podcast about that. And I looked, and there are.
About Yosemite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, somebody eventually is going to search for this and be very disappointed.
Yeah, they're never going to get this far.
Bosses are going to be upset about this?
They'll be like, get in here. Yeah. We hired you for... That's on them.
Yeah. If you thought we were going to... Like, the one thing that I've been wondering about for the last 10 days is how many people die every year. And it took me Googling it on my phone while I was talking before to look that up. I didn't even do that. And like, that was the most interesting thing that I thought.
Well, because Tim, look, you're not some computer geek. You go out there and you find the information yourself. You're like, I'm not going to do Yosemite podcasts about things I Google.
Yeah, reading shit off Wikipedia like some a-hole.
I'm going to go out there and experience it for myself, so I've got firsthand accounts.
Yeah, cool.
Tell you about the coyotes that almost ate us.
I don't think those coyotes, they were after coyote blood.
Yeah, I felt like we could have gotten mixed up in there somehow.
Yeah, like in a cartoon. I pictured it a big dust ball.
Yeah. And then one of the coyotes steps out, and they don't even know.
Looks at that like, can you believe this?
Yeah. I just didn't want them to get any of our canned chili.
We did eat a lot of canned chili.
Yeah, I got the farts to prove it.
All right, see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.